maybe, over the course of these past few weeks and even months, with all this talk about Proverbs, you've decided that you want wisdom. Maybe you started to seek it out, even to grow in wisdom and insight. Maybe you've put it into practice, memorized a proverb, given someone some advice. Maybe you've wrestled with the God who gives wisdom, the God that we saw is the only wise God. I'd say any of that's great news. I think it's fantastic. Any of the above is, to me, a win. And I hope it stays that way, that wisdom remains something you want and you get from God. The art of living, that you take it thoughtfully and you take it seriously. As for sermons on the book of Proverbs, they do have to end sometime. And so this afternoon, I'm going to conclude the book and try to bring some closure to the series. The reading comes from Proverbs chapters 30 to 31, the final two chapters of the book. After chapter 9, we had a huge section, actually, of Proverbs, like Proverbs proper. But the book began with poetry, and now it's going to end again with poetry. The first one is from a man named Agur, son of Yakeg. And then there's the poem about an excellent wife. Both of these give us a glimpse at what happens on the journey of wisdom, two places that we can, and at times probably will, end up. One's actually the low point of wisdom. The other's the high point. So I want to start with the low point. I want to look at that passage step by step. It's chapter 30. And then after that, we're going to move all around the Bible a bit tonight. Proverbs chapter 30, starting at verse 1. The words of Agur, son of Yake, the oracle. The man declares, I'm weary, God, I'm weary and worn out. Surely, I'm too stupid to be a man. I don't have the understanding of a man. I haven't learned wisdom, nor have I knowledge of the Holy One. Agur, we have no idea who he is, nor do we know his father, Yake. They're probably fictional figures. They could be historical. We do know that Augur's voice is here to make a point, and the point he wants to make is that he's at a low. I'm weary, God, I'm weary and worn out. Augur's experiencing some kind of burnout. It's remarkable because most wise people, most wise men like him, introduced in a wisdom text like this, are elevating their wisdom. They give credentials, wise status, achievements, and learning. That's why Proverbs began with Solomon, king of Israel, back in the very first chapter of the book. But Agur is the complete opposite. Have a look at verses 2 and 3. Surely, I'm too stupid to be a man. I don't have the understanding of a man. I haven't learned wisdom. I don't have knowledge of the Holy One. Wisdom is a pinnacle of human living. It's the art of living well. That's what we've seen in Proverbs. And Agur is saying, I'm not there. In fact, I'm feeling subhuman. What do I mean by that? He's feeling subhuman. The word for stupid there, I'm too stupid to be a man, means I'm kind of beast-like. I'm like an animal. The psalmist at one point says, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast toward you, God. This is Augur's current state of being. Apparently 61% of Australian workers reported that they've experienced burnout. The global trend is around 50%. Here's what to look for. A decreased satisfaction or sense of accomplishment. Feeling isolated or disengaged from work. Struggling to enjoy activities that are normally enjoyable. Becoming upset or tearful on the job. Fatigue, lack of energy, exhaustion, feeling drained. Physical symptoms such as headaches, stomach aches, intestinal issues, or illness. Making little errors or lapses in judgment, or not performing to the usual standard. Being late to work, taking longer breaks, or work avoidance. and then an increasingly negative or cynical outlook. Burnout is the struggle, even the failure, to live well. Motivation, sense of purpose, satisfaction, physical health, positive attitude, they've all come to a low point. It's like the shuttle isn't taking off. The planes are just grounded. We're not going to get very far today feeling like this. We don't know exactly what's gone wrong for Auger, the details of his failure, his burnout, his low point. But there is a clue here in the text that clears things up. Now, to find that answer, we're going to have to do a quick word search. The words I'm talking about are there in that same passage, verses 2 and 3. Surely I'm too stupid to be a man. I don't have the understanding of a man. That's word one. I haven't learned wisdom, nor have I knowledge of the Holy One. Notice those three words: understanding, wisdom, and knowledge. That's what Auger doesn't have. Do you know where those three exact words show up elsewhere in the Bible? At the very beginning, the book of Proverbs itself. I'm reading from chapter 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. There they are again, wisdom, understanding, knowledge. Auger is exasperated because he's failed, or at least feels like he's failed in the school of wisdom. He hasn't achieved the educational goals of the book of Proverbs. The whole book is geared towards growing in wisdom, getting knowledge, building up insight. And Auger says, I haven't done it. I feel like a failure. So where does he go? Where does he go from his low point? He goes up. Have a look at verse 4. Who's ascended to heaven and come down? Who's gathered the wind in his fists? Who has wrapped up the waters in a garment? Who's established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name? Surely you know. At his low point, Auger reaches for God. Who's ascended to heaven and come down? Who's gathered the wind in his fists? The answer for Auger would have been no one. No human being has done that in his day. It's a divine prerogative. Now, we know from our vantage point that that's not the end of the story. Someone has come to bridge the gap, to mediate wisdom between the divine and human realms, and we'll get to him. But let's stick with Auger for a moment. In the rest of this passage, verses 5 to 9, Auger finds solace in God. Every word of God is true, he says, and his word's sufficient, so don't add to it. He's a shield to those who take refuge in him. Auger then prays two things to God. He says, don't give me too much and don't give me too little, lest I be tempted to do wrong. He prays for contentment. It's a version of that line from the Lord's Prayer. Lord, lead me not into temptation. Don't lead me into a test of faith. That's what that line means. Keep me content, trusting in you, satisfied with what you said to me. The journey toward wisdom may bring us to low points. Maybe you've been inspired by Proverbs, but now you're frustrated. You have a love-hate relationship with wisdom. God meets us at these very low points. He is good. That's not the problem. And he protects those who go to him for safety. He lifts up the head of the downcast, even those downcast, in wisdom, in trying to live well, the art of godly living, even when we fail. So if Auger in chapter 30 is at the low point, then chapter 31, the final chapter of Proverbs, is certainly the high point of wisdom. This is over on the other page, 31, verse 10, an excellent wife who can find. The final poem has over 20 verses describing the excellent wife. In different Bible translations, we get all types of words for her. A wife of noble character. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? A virtuous woman. I've heard people call her the P31 woman for short, Proverbs 31. Something for young women to aspire to, something for young men to speak and espouse. I'm not going to go down that path today because this woman is first and foremost the high point of what? Of wisdom. She's the full embodiment, the fulfillment of what it means to be wise. Think, at the start of Proverbs, we get a young man beginning his journey of wisdom, and then at the end of the book, we get a mature woman who's achieved it all. Let me speed through a few texts and sum up what kind of woman this is. First thing to note is that she has immense value. She's far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he'll have no lack of gain. Second is verse 15. She's very active, and she's service-oriented. She rises while it's still night, provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. Finally, in verse 28, she gets recognition for all this. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. He says, many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Kate Middleton, the Princess of Wales, was at Wimbledon this year, the tennis tournament. She had a difficult year of health, a cancer diagnosis. Of course, the media jumps on this. Got body language experts, fashion people. Well, they all say she's back in action. One report said this, Kate's still at the top of her game. She arrived projecting signals of confidence and upbeat authority, no signs of inner nervousness or anxiety. Top of her game. This is a way of describing high points in life. Never been better. She's going places. He's at his peak. Who's trending? Maximum performance. But there's a danger here at the high point in life, even the high point of wisdom, that we forget about God. In the book of Deuteronomy, which is preparing the people of Israel for how to live their new life in the land of Israel, God gives them a warning. My warning was that we're going to jump all around the Bible. Here's God's warning. We're back in Deuteronomy. He says this to them, be careful, lest when you have eaten and you're full and you've built good houses and you live in them, when you're living in security in this land of promise that I'm bringing you to, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold's multiplied and all that you have is multiplying, then your heart be lifted up. Beware of that. And you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Last warning, beware. If all that happens, lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me all this wealth. The message here is that if we go to God at the low points in life, we also need to go to him at the high points in life. Have a look at the final verses of Proverbs. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Proverbs won't let us forget about the true source of wisdom and the thing that deserves ultimate credit. It's God himself. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. It's from God that we get our value. If it's God who enables us to serve others with wisdom, and it's his work through us that deserves recognition. So what do we do at the high points in life? I think we point up further still. If you want some extra reading, the only other person in the Bible referred to as the excellent woman with that phrase is Ruth. And many published Bibles over time put Ruth after Proverbs because there was that word in the last chapter and that word in Ruth as well. So if you want to chase that down, she's there. I'd like to go back to our word, sir, one more time, because those three words, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, they don't just show up in Proverbs. They show up in one more place in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 11. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and of understanding, spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Who's Isaiah talking about? Who's the shoot from the stump of Jesse upon whom the Spirit of the Lord shall rest with wisdom and understanding and knowledge. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom belongs all wisdom, all knowledge, and all understanding. He's called the very wisdom of God. In him, the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. He's traversed heaven and earth. If we want to talk about a high point or the fulfillment of wisdom, then let's talk about Jesus Christ. Proverbs, Deuteronomy, Isaiah. We've got one more jump in our Bibles, and we're going to the very end. The book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 7. It's a scene of worship. An innumerable number of people from all nations are standing around the throne of the risen and exalted Jesus Christ. They're calling out, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Jesus is called a lamb here because his life was a sacrifice for humankind. He fixed a situation that no one else could fix, and he did it for you and for me. Now, among all these people worshiping Jesus are angels as well. And they're saying blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. This is not the high point of wisdom. This is the highest point of wisdom. Wisdom belongs to the exalted Jesus. And like the wise woman in Proverbs 31, the highest point is again person. But even at the highest point, portrayed in the book of Revelation, we see a low point as well. It's not Jesus. He's already been lowly during his life on earth, and that's finished. He's not coming in the form of a servant to be subject to suffering anymore. The meek and lowly Jesus is no more. Jesus is exalted now, and he will remain so forever. The low point comes from those worshiping Jesus, the people gathered around his throne. These are the ones, we're told, who have come out of the great tribulation. Christians were under pressure because of their faith. Big earthly powers were like a great weight on early Christian communities, and these people needed encouragement to endure in their commitment to Christ, to have victory in that struggle. That's the hope, to have victory in the struggle. The book of Revelation points to a victorious Jesus. I didn't wear any tonight, but Nike. Somebody's got some Nike on, I'm sure. Does anyone know what that word means? Nike. It's a Greek word, Nike. It means victory. Nike, Nikao, to be victorious, is a common word throughout the whole book of Revelation. Anytime you see to be victorious, to conquer, to overcome the world or the evil one, that's all Nike. This Jesus is a powerful Jesus, a Jesus who is victorious over evil and death, a Jesus full of wisdom and glory and might. That's what the whole book of Revelation is about good and evil, and Jesus being good and conquering, being victorious over evil and protecting his people through it. Those people gathered around the throne of God, praising the Lamb of God, have experienced his comfort and encouragement at their low point. And so we're told this. This is verses 16, 17. It says, "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb is in the midst of the throne. He will be their shepherd. He'll guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This wise God is a God who serves, just like the woman in Proverbs 31. She expresses her wisdom through service to family and community. So Jesus, the pinnacle of wisdom, expresses it in service to his people. He nourishes, he protects, he guides them on the path of life. Let me finish here. That's what an all-wise God does with his wisdom. He nourishes, he guides, he protects, he looks after the people he loves. And that is where wisdom can, and I think should, take us in the end.